Hello and welcome back to English for You. I'm Seb.
And I'm Erin.
So Erin, we are going to be finding out some more about Jeremy Wade's Mighty Rivers today. What did we learn last time?
Okay, well, we learned that Jeremy Wade, who is a famous angler, that's a kind of fisherman, he's looking at how pollution and climate change and other bad things are kind of changing six of the world's most important rivers.
Right. He went to one special river, didn't he? The Ganges, which is a very big river in India. He said, apparently it should be full of fish, but the markets that sell the fish around it are selling fish that were produced somewhere else. I wonder why that could be.
Well, there's a lot of pollution in the Ganges, okay? So that makes makes it so that the fish don't grow very big. And so a lot of the fish aren't really there anymore. So what's happening is local farmers are having to go into jungles to catch crabs, which is very dangerous.
Right. And it also added that one of the reasons for all of these problems is that there's a lot of pollution in the river. And it's full of human waste, poop, and chemicals.
That's right.
Okay, so today we are going to be looking at some more serious problems that some of the world's rivers are facing. Let's go to our day two article now.
Okay.
Reading. Jeremy Wade's Mighty Rivers. Next, Jeremy visits the Danube, which runs through Central and Eastern Europe. It is supposed to be home to millions of birds and fish, but nobody is fishing anymore. The fishermen in the area Jeremy visits used to seek beluga sturgeon. These fish can live to be 100 years old, and their eggs are worth up to $4,000 a pound. Sturgeon fishing has been banned for the past 10 years to help their population recover. However, it doesn't seem to be helping. When Jeremy attempts to catch some, he has a surprise. He can only find small ones. Another episode is about the Yangtze in southern China, the longest river in Asia. Jeremy has heard that, due to fishing, dams, and pollution, the river's life is dying. Even its famous river dolphins have gone extinct. Jeremy is disappointed when he checks out the fish on sale in Shanghai's markets, all of which are farmed. Thankfully, though, fishing in the Yangtze is forbidden for 4 months a year, which is helping numbers increase. Later, Jeremy travels to the Amazon, the Mississippi, and Southeast Africa's Zambezi River. Each place he visits tells the same story. If we don't change our ways, the life that depends on these rivers is headed for disaster.
All right, in day two of our article, Jeremy is no longer in India. He has traveled all the way to Europe, it says here. Next, Jeremy visits the Danube, which runs through Central and Eastern Europe. Okay, so we know what Eastern is probably. It's something that's to the east. Okay, but what is central? This adjective is used to describe something that is in the middle of a place. So Central Europe would describe countries in the middle of Europe, such as the Czech Republic and Austria. Here's an example sentence. It's very expensive to live in central Taipei, so I rented an apartment in New Taipei City.
Good idea. Okay, so our next sentence in the article is about the Danube, and it's saying that it is supposed to be home to millions of birds and fish, but no one is fishing anymore.
Nobody
is fishing anymore, you're right. Okay, so we have a useful phrase there, to be supposed to, verb.
Right.
When something is supposed to be something, it should be a certain way. The verb suppose means to think that something is probably true. So if I say that there are supposed to be 30 people coming to the party tonight, that means that there will likely be, or I hope there will be, 30 people at the party, but we don't know if there are going to be 30 people at the party. Now, if we use supposed to be in the past tense, though, we are normally saying that something something should have been a certain way.
Right.
But in the end, something else happened.
Mm-hmm.
My flight was supposed to take off at 3 p.m., for example, implies that my flight didn't take off then. It was probably late.
That's right. Mm. Okay, so there are supposed to be fish in this river, but there are not. People are mm-hmm. not fishing there
exactly.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, the fishermen in the area Jeremy visits used to seek beluga sturgeon. All right, what they mean by this verb seek is when you seek something, you look very hard to try to find that thing. You might have to look in several different places before you find it. So that's what fishermen do. They don't just stand in one spot all day. They might stand in a spot for a couple of hours mm-hmm. and then move to a different spot, sort of thing, looking for fish or seeking these fish.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. I'm not looking forward to seeking a job after graduation. It's probably going to be a lot of hard work.
Okay, so these fishermen are seeking something, mm-hmm. but what are they seeking? Beluga sturgeon, which is a very, very big fish that lives in rivers and lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Beluga sturgeon are found in Central and Eastern Europe and can measure, get this, up to 6 meters long.
That's a lot longer than me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's about three of you.
Yes.
So beluga sturgeon are extremely valuable as well because their eggs are used to make caviar, which is one of the world's most expensive foods.
Mm-hmm.
However, most countries have made beluga caviar illegal now because the fish is in danger of becoming extinct.
Mm-hmm.
The article explains a little bit more about them.
That's right.
Yes, it says, these fish can live to be 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
and their eggs are worth up to $4,000 a pound.
Mm.
Okay, so now we see why caviar is so expensive. If those
right.
eggs are $4,000 a pound,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be cheap.
That's in US dollars as well, not NT. So even more than maybe
wow,
if you were thinking 4,000 NT. So they are quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you know what caviar is, you know that is one of the world's most famous foods,
very
I think.
Very fancy food.
Very fancy mm-hmm. foods and very expensive foods. So
mm-hmm.
if the fish are disappearing, maybe it's a good idea to sort of ban that food.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, the article continues on by saying this. Sturgeon fishing has been banned for the past 10 years to help their population recover.
Oh, so not just the eggs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, so sturgeon fishing was banned 10 years ago. Ban, to ban something, it's a verb. When you ban something, you tell people that they can't do something or they can't use something. Now, this is usually used when we talk about the government saying you can't do something. They might make a law that says fishing in an area is banned, and if you do that, you'll be arrested or fined.
Okay, so now we have a verb, recover. Let's go and take a closer look at that. Okay, so we had a good verb there, recover. This is a very flexible word we can use in lots of ways. Recover can be a transitive verb, which means it takes an object, or an intransitive verb, which means it doesn't take an object. Now, when it's this second kind, the intransitive verb, it means to return to a normal condition. In the article, the sturgeon need to recover from overfishing. This means they need to be given time so that more of them can be born and the sturgeon population can get bigger. Now, we can talk about other things recovering as well. An economy can recover if it's been going through a very difficult period and then it gets better. Or we can talk about a company recovering, sort of in the same way. If it had some financial difficulty and then it got more money, it recovered from that period of financial difficulty. Okay, we can also recover from an illness. So similar, we were in a bad condition, we got better. I recovered from a 2-week period of having the flu, for example. Or we could use recover in a transitive way. When we recover something, we can get it back after it has been lost or taken. The museum recovered its most valuable painting after it was stolen by thieves. Okay, so lots of different uses of recover, but here's an example of how it was used in the article. 10 years after the war, tourism in this country has recovered to normal levels. Okay, mm-hmm. so we want the sturgeon population to recover.
Right.
But is it enough? Well, the article says, however, it doesn't seem to be helping.
Uh-oh.
So they're not recovering. The sturgeon, there's still very small numbers of sturgeon.
That's right. And we know this because it says in the article, when Jeremy attempts to catch some, he has a surprise. He can only find small ones.
Oh.
So what we see there is that we learned in day one that the size of the fish is a measure of the river's health. Mm-hmm. If you're only finding small fish and not big ones, that's a sign that the river is still not healthy.
And obviously, yeah, if it's an unhealthy river, then there's not a good environment for fish to grow up big and strong.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so the show goes on to look at some other rivers which are facing problems.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we learn about another episode. The article says another episode is about the Yangtze, that's the Changjiang, in southern China, the longest river in Asia.
That's right.
Okay, so we're looking at another episode.
Mm-hmm.
An episode is a video, TV program, podcast, or radio program that is one in a series.
Mm-hmm.
So normally when we watch a TV drama, for example, the entire story is told in 1 hour pieces that we watch each week. So you watch episode 1 week, episode 2 the next week, and episode 3 the week after. These are episodes.
That's right.
Now, of course, if you watch lots of episodes of TV at the same time, you could say that you are binge watching them, which is something I know I like to do on the weekend.
It's easy to do on Netflix.
Very easy, yeah.
Yes. All right, well, let's find out more about the Yangtze River. It says here, Jeremy has heard that due to fishing, dams, and pollution, the river's life is dying. All right, so in that sentence, we saw that because of fishing and pollution and dams, the river's life is dying. The Yangtze River's life is dying. So what is a dam? This noun is a large structure that's placed in a river and stops the water from flowing or from flowing quickly and completely. Now, when this happens, the river can't keep going like it used to, and it starts to build up and make a lake. Now, this lake that builds can flood cities. So when a dam is built, lots of people need to move and lots of plants and animals get covered up by water. However, this happens in the world because dams are important for humans. Dams help us make electricity by controlling the water. Now, as an example sentence, we could say, China built a big dam in this area so it could use the river to get more power. Now, another thing that happens when you build a dam is that species that depend on the river and the flowing water sometimes can't live in lakes, right? And so they might die out or go extinct, which we'll find out here in a minute.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. These animals can't move up and down easily because of the dam. This is something that has affected the Yangtze River in particular, actually. The article says even its famous river dolphins have gone extinct.
That's right.
Right, so we've seen that word a couple of times. You said it, I said it, extinct. When an animal is extinct, there are no more left of it alive in the wild. So an example of this is the Formosan leopard, which is the Taiwan Yunbao. That's an example of an animal that has gone extinct in Taiwan. Although, I don't know if you saw this in the news a couple of months ago, they found one in the wild. So normally, once an animal is extinct, it's gone. But actually in Taiwan this year, an animal came back from extinction. Yeah.
Well, of course, now we don't want to get too excited because if we've only seen one, it's still considered very endangered.
Yeah,
right?
Very difficult.
So that is exciting news, but let's make sure that we protect it this time.
Yes.
All right. Well, Jeremy is disappointed, the article says. Jeremy is disappointed when he checks out the fish on sale in Shanghai's markets, all of which are farmed. Now, this is something that he also saw on day one in India. None of the fish came from the Ganges. That's happening here as well. None of the fish are coming from the Yangtze River. That's why he's disappointed. Now, when someone is disappointed, they feel sad or annoyed or upset because something they wanted to happen didn't happen. Now here, Jeremy wanted to see wild fish in the markets, but he was upset or annoyed when he saw that there were only farmed fish in the markets. Here's another example. Jerry was disappointed when Elise canceled their date and was too busy to make other plans.
Right, it's grammar time. We saw an interesting pattern in that sentence. We saw that Jeremy was disappointed when he saw that the fish on sale in Shanghai's markets, all of which were farmed. Okay, so we had the fish on sale in Shanghai's markets followed by the phrase, all of which. We use this phrase to introduce a clause that describes how many of the fish in Shanghai's markets were farmed. All of them. It doesn't have to be all of them, though. We could also say some of which, if not all the fish are farmed. We could say most of which, if almost all of the fish are farmed. Or none of which, one of which, if only one fish is farmed. Or none of which, if none of the fish were farmed. Just so we know we're clear on how this grammar works, let's take a look at two sentences. First one is, John takes 11 classes at high school, all of which are boring. Okay, so he has 11 classes, and he thinks that every single one of them is not very interesting. Our next sentence, Amy works two jobs on the weekend, both of which are hard work. So not just one of the jobs, both of the jobs, two jobs, are hard work for her. Okay, and actually we have a third sentence we can look at as well. Jo is going to meet her two sisters today, one of whom is pregnant. Okay, so notice we didn't use which here, we used whom, which is the word we use when we are talking about people instead of things. Okay, our example sentence for this pattern is, Tanya has 15 dogs, none of which are properly trained.
Okay, so we saw that all of the fish in the Shanghai's markets mm-hmm. were coming from farms, right? Mm. However, that means that the river is not growing a lot of fish. The fish aren't really living there anymore, but there is some good news. It says here, thankfully, though, fishing in Yangtze is forbidden for 4 months a year, which is helping numbers increase. So there are more fish there now because of this ban. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the verb forbid. Now this verb is similar to the verb ban we used earlier. When you forbid something, you tell people that they can't do that thing. Now this can also be used to talk about governments, like the government banned fishing, the government forbids fishing, but it can also be used by any people in authority, such as your parents, a teacher, or your principal. Mm-hmm. Here's an example. My parents forbade me to date anyone until I was 16 years old. I could only start dating after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, so you can't forbid your friends to do something,
not
right?
Really.
From doing something. It sounds like you think you're better than them, right?
Right.
When you say, I forbid you from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't use it with your friends.
Right.
Okay, so we go on in our article to look at some more rivers.
Mm-hmm.
It says, later, Jeremy travels to the Amazon, the Mississippi, and Southeast Africa's Zambezi River.
Mm.
Okay, so three other very important rivers. The Zambezi River actually divides up, I think, something like four or five countries.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very big river.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, it says here, each place he visits tells the same story.
Ooh. I wonder what story that is.
Apparently, not a very good one.
No, it says, if we don't change our ways, the life that depends on these rivers is headed for disaster.
Mm.
Oh no. Okay, so we saw a phrase there, depend on something or someone, which means to need or someone or something for support, help, or in order to do something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we could all say that we depend on electricity to work.
Right.
Well, just to do everything in life, really, because electricity is very important.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important things we use on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
We have an example sentence for this as well. The children in this poor rural village depend on candlelight to do their homework after dark.
Mm.
Oh, I see. So they can't do their homework without the candles.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we also saw the phrase beheaded for or beheading for. Now, if you are heading or headed for something, that thing is likely to happen to you soon. Mm-hmm. So we said that the river is headed for disaster because of what we are doing to the world, our climate change, the pollution we make, that sort of thing. So the rivers are headed for disaster. That means disaster or something bad is going to happen to them probably very soon. Mm-hmm. Here's another example. Unless we do something about our serious sales problem, this company will be headed for disaster. All right. Not a very happy note to end this article on, but that just means that you should think about how you can protect Taiwan's rivers because you have lots of them here too. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are finished with today's article. Let's finish off with today's For You Chat.
For You Chat.
Okay, today's For You Chat question. What problems do rivers around the world face and how can we help them?
Well, the way I see it, cleaning up our rivers is a very big, difficult job. And I think it's going to take a lot of work from governments and big companies to make them really clean. But there are lots of smaller things that we can all do to help. So one example is finding a safe way to get rid of harmful waste. So things like cleaning products, plastic, chemicals, all of these things are very bad for rivers because when they're left in water for a long time, poisonous chemicals in them can release into the water and that can hurt the animals that live there and the plants that live there. So if you ever go and hang out with your friends by the river, make sure you take away all of your trash because that can pollute the water. And if you need to get rid of something difficult like batteries or plastic or chemicals, make sure you find a safe place to do this. Most cities normally have a special place you can get rid of dangerous things. Don't throw them in the water.
That's a bad, bad thing.
Exactly.
All right.
Right. So there are lots of other things you can do to take care of a river, but we're going to leave that to you guys to discuss. But for English for You, that's all we have time for. So I'm Seb.
I'm Erin.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jeremy wades mighty rivers. Next, Jeremy visits the Danube, which runs through Central and Eastern Europe. It is supposed to be home to millions of birds and fish, but nobody is fishing anymore. The fishermen in the area Jeremy visits used to seek beluga sturgeon. These fish can live to be 100 years old, and their eggs are worth up to $4,000 a pound. Sturgeon fishing has been banned for the past 10 years to help their population recover. However, it doesn't seem to be helping. When Jeremy attempts to catch some, he has a surprise. He can only find small ones. Another episode is about the Yangtze in southern China, the longest river in Asia. Jeremy has heard that, due to fishing, dams, and pollution, the river's life is dying. Even its famous river dolphins have gone extinct. Jeremy is disappointed when he checks out the fish on sale in Shanghai's markets, all of which are farmed. Thankfully, though, fishing in the Yangtze is forbidden for 4 months a year, which is helping numbers increase. Later, Jeremy travels to the Amazon, the Mississippi, and Southeast Africa's Zambezi River. Each place he visits tells the same story. If we don't change our ways, the life that depends on these rivers is headed for disaster.
Vocabulary Review. Central. Alishan is in central Taiwan, which is just as easy to get to from the north or the south of the country. Seek. After the company he worked for suddenly went out of business, Larry had to seek a new job. Recover. Since hunting in this forest is now against the law, The local deer population is beginning to recover. Dam. This city's newly built dam not only helps collect the area's drinking water, but also produces its power. Disappointed. Stephanie was looking forward to going to the beach all week, so she was disappointed when it rained all weekend. Forbid. The law forbids any store from selling cigarettes to people who are under 18 years old.